everybody, and welcome back to part two, where maybe we will be more on topic. My name is Kelsey, and his name is Carmen.
Yeah.
And we are ready to talk about Grey's Anatomy, and I have fresh tea, and I will likely burn myself on it. We are going to start with everyone's favorite segment. Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland. I was like, man, give me that tea up. You know what I mean?
First time for season 11, Living in Shondaland. We've got one person.
Gina Davis.
No.
Oh. Is it?
I can't believe you didn't even know who Gina Davis was. I mean, you know that she was in the... Let me just pull it up because you got... Anyways, you can keep guessing.
I'm fairly certain she was Dottie in A League of Their Own. Fairly certain. While you look that up.
She was also Thelma in Thelma and Louise, so...
Never fucking heard of that. No, I've heard of it. I've just not seen it.
Okay. That's fair. It was a fair correction that you just made. Also, yes, she was Dottie.
Hell yeah, your boy knows female baseball taking place in World War II era because the men were drafted into the war because men start wars, not women.
So true.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess the hiker guy.
No.
Is it the mom of the guy who fell off the roof?
No one fell off the roof, but yes, it is the mom of the guy who got hit by a gurney that fell off the roof.
That wasn't what I was... No. The guy who he fell off the roof going to get his kid's frisbee.
So no.
That's sad. That's so fucking sad. This episode, honestly, a lot happens with no stakes.
Where the patience was really where all the emotions sat in this episode. The doctors,
yeah.
Nada.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did I answer your question?
Is it her?
No.
It's the mom of the kid, the gurney.
Yeah, yeah, it's the mom of the kid.
You did say that.
By a gurney. Yeah. So Megan Gallagher plays the mom of the kid. And she was in one episode of Station 19 and one episode of Scandal.
All right. Nice.
And I just think Oscar winner Gina Davis, we got to give it up. So she's just, what a woman. She won for a movie called The Accidental Tourist. She won Best Actress in a Supporting Role. She was nominated for Thelma and Louise. She was nominated for an Emmy for the short-lived show Commander in Chief, wherein she was a female president. Only like one or two seasons. And yeah, she was, she's just got a lengthy and full career. And we love to see it. She's great.
Well, I'm very happy for that. Also, you know, in this time since recording, like from part one of this episode to part two, there's a couple things I think everyone out there needs to know. Number one, hit that like, subscribe, follow, 5-star, write a review, share your friends, post this on your Instagram story. Hit any of those buttons. Do that. It really helps the algorithm, and we are so grateful for that. It really does go a long way to help people find this show. That's number one. Number two is, you know, Kelsey and I are different in a lot of ways. But I've learned that we're also different kind of tea people.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kelsey said that she literally went and boiled water for her tea.
Yeah.
And I am the kind of person that says, I'm going to put a cup in the microwave and microwave my water.
Okay,
for my
when
tea.
I tell you that I boiled water, what do you envision me doing?
Either one of two things. Having a physical kettle on your stovetop with water inside of it, or getting a pan, filling it with water like you're about to make fucking noodles, but instead you pour it into a cup.
That's funny. No, I do have a teapot.
Okay.
And it's cute. I got it both as a decoration and for functionality. It sits on my stovetop at all times. It's white with little black polka dots on it. It's very cute. Kate Spade.
Mmm.
And occasionally it gets used, like right now, and also in the winter when I want to make hot cocoa, which is, I do make a lot of hot cocoa in the winter.
I believe it's pronounced hot cacao.
It's not, because cacao is different than cocoa. So.
You're right. Cacao is a bird, and cocoa.
Cacao. So the hiking guy was really sad.
Yeah, the hiking guy was sad.
Did you think, actually, that the family was dead?
Yeah. When they said the motherfucker's been out there for 2 months, I'm like, that a six-year-old can't survive that long. I'm 34. Yeah. I can't survive. How this man lived two months?
Yeah, it's baffling. And then his toes just fall off. That was gross.
Yeah. No, not a fan.
Yeah, I don't remember watching this, like, this specific storyline in real time. But I do, like, obviously I knew that it ended and they were fine. But, like, as I was watching it, I was like, this is so upsetting. I was like, if I did not know that these people were okay, I would not be okay right now. Like, I'd be beside myself.
Honestly, like, listen, there are people in life that have lost their children and life goes on because I don't have a choice, right? I don't know that if I'm in this guy's situation, I want them giving me medicine. If I'm if the kid didn't walk in, I'm going to let myself just wither away until I'm not even here. I can't.
I don't want to get better. Like, I don't want to be living anymore. Yeah.
And also, can we take a moment to say, fuck you, Owen Hunt, collectively as a group. Don't patronize it. There's a reason. There's a reason that you're alive. No, bitch. Unless the kid is here, there's no reason. And you didn't fucking know that
also
when you were talking to him.
Everything happens for a reason, bullshit. That fucking pisses me off every time someone says that. It's all part of the plan. Fuck off. That is not a piece of comforting word that you think it is.
Yeah.
It's just not.
I'm right there with you. I think that there is probably good you can find in any scenario. I'm going to go on record. If my child dies, there is no good to be had in that scenario.
You don't need to tell me it happened for a reason.
Yeah.
I think it comes from like people are so eager to not like sit in any discomfort. They're like, I have to say something that quote unquote fixes or like the moment or whatever. And I'm like, you can literally just be like, I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here if you need anything. Because when you ask someone, are you okay? No, they're not. You ask someone like, or tell someone, oh, it's all part of God's plan. Everything happens for a reason. No, you don't know that. Believe what you want on your own time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just like, I think ultimately it does come from potentially a good place or just a place of like wanting to avoid anything awkward or uncomfy. But sometimes the good friend thing to do is just like sit with someone in their emotions and like let them feel whatever they're feeling and not try and like quote unquote fix it, because some things cannot be fixed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. So yeah, that sucked. I mean, what a crazy storyline. The guy's like, I don't know, it's been like 3 days, and it's like, it's been longer than 3 days.
It's definitely not been 3 days, bro.
And he's like, yeah, totally. I guess it could be 4 days. And she's like, bitch, try two fucking
try 8
months.
Weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're unwell.
I guess also that storyline is crazy too, because he's like, the car died and I went to go find help and then I ended up miles away.
Lost in the desert?
I guess I didn't fully know what was going on there. Thank God that we are in a time in history where our phones can just SOS the shit out of whatever we need.
Yeah.
Listen, the
constant phone access has done a lot of damage for people, but I'll say there is some good to it.
You know where it's not going to help you out, folks? In the birth canal under the ocean. Don't do that. Don't do
birth
the caves.
Canal?
It's cave. Wasn't it in the water? No, it was just a cave. Never mind. It was the cave.
Why did you say birth canal?
Because that's what it was called. The guy thought he was in the birth canal, but he ended up going past the birth canal and he got stuck and he died on his family with his family on the phone on Thanksgiving Day. Have you heard that story?
The birth canal is like when the baby leaves the uterus.
Yeah. But it's also a name of a rock formation in cave divers or cave explorers. There's a birth canal, and there was a guy who thought he was at the birth canal but wasn't. So he went to go through it and he got stuck.
Nutty Putty Cave.
Yes, terrible.
In Utah Lake in Utah County, Utah. Say Utah one more time.
Utah. So yeah, the guy, it was like on Thanksgiving Day, and he's like, I'm just going to go for a quick cave diving sesh. I'll be back in time to carve the turkey. Never comes home. Never comes home. And they end up like, I guess what happened, and I'm probably butchering this story, but if you're out there and you know the story, like, don't talk to me about it. Don't correct me. I don't want to be corrected, but you can message.
I want to be incorrect and make it worse.
Yeah. No. I'm fairly certain that he goes, he's cave jumping, cave dwelling, cave crawling, whatever they call it. And he gets into a spot, he's stuck, but he's cave diving with another person. So the person goes back out to find help. They put a pulley system and they latch it around the guy. As they're pulling the pulley, it snaps back, hits the guy in the face, and he's knocked out for hours. Blood continues to flow into the upper extremities because he's pointing downwards.
He is upside down, yes. I am reading about it now.
And they end up, they were like, listen, we can't get you out. So they phone him in. He says his goodbyes to his family Thanksgiving Day as he's suffocating in the birth canal, the fake birth canal. So they cement it up, and it's now a tomb memorial to this guy.
That's crazy.
Did I pretty much get all the points right? I was told the story once.
I don't see anything about the pulley system injuring someone else. Because there was rescue workers that set up the pulley system, but it failed when it was put under strain. And he did ultimately die after 27 hours from cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
Because he was hanging upside down. So that's a bummer. And of course, they made a movie about it. So.
Oh, no. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I could start. I feel myself. My body wants to start sweating.
Yeah, listen to this.
Bleh. So when I think about this hiker and how he got separated from his family, and all of a sudden he's wandering in the wilderness, I just don't understand. I'm not saying crazy. I think there's a fine line in this the cave crawling community. If that's your thing, cool. It's not for me. Okay. I'm too large of a human. It's I don't true. Like small spaces. I'm barely built for lakes. Like
barely built for rooms.
I'm barely built for life, which is unfair to say because people like Shaq exist, and he's literally, his nickname is Diesel, like a fucking locomotive. Okay, so I just like, yeah, not for me. The hiker storyline, I'm confused. I get the distress. That scene where he's like, I just want to go to sleep because, like, give me something to sleep because when I see them when I'm asleep. That's sad.
They only come when I'm asleep. And then I love how it plays out at the end, though, when he's like, oh, I'm finally asleep. They're here. But then, like, they were just actually there. Goosebumps. Goosebumps. Yeah. Such goosebumps.
And did they've been... Yeah, absolutely. And They were found the next day.
Yeah. I think what happened was, what my understanding is, he thought he was going in one direction and went in the wrong direction, obviously. And so then no one knew where to... They were looking in the wrong place to find him.
Ah, got it.
Because he was like hundreds of miles from where he was trying to get to or where they thought he would have been or something like that. So, yeah, I think that was ultimately, like, where the kerfuffle came from.
But what do you do in this scenario? I think you just have to stay together.
It's like, maybe don't go hiking.
It's a good point.
Listen, there are trails and like places to hike where you're not right next to the desert. The whole thing with this was he got lost in the desert. When you live in places where there are like national parks and like hundreds and hundreds of miles of forest and hundreds of miles of desert, it's very different than you live like where we live, where there's so much outdoor stuff here to do and like hiking and stuff, but it's all pretty well marked and like explored and established. It's not like, and good luck.
Yeah.
Also, again, to the point now, like phones even can like connect to satellite if they don't have service. So you'll probably be okay. Which is great. Sometimes technology is in it to win it.
Yeah.
So just be safe, make good choices, use maps, tell people where you're going, share your location. Carmen won't share his location, but share your location.
I thought I did share my location with you.
Yeah, and then you took it off.
Oh.
You literally said, I can't wait to turn this off. I hate this so much. When I said, are you getting a McMuffin? And you said, I hate this. I can't wait to turn it off.
Goodness.
I just like to know where all my little Tamagotchi friends are. I love a little location sharing moment. That's so funny to me. I'm like, what's anybody doing right now? Also, like sometimes before I call my mom, I'm like, oh, let me see. Maybe she's like, if she's at the gym, like I'm not going to call her because she won't answer.
That is, it's very funny. Anyways, all right.
It's a useful tool.
I guess it is useful. All right, let's keep talking about these patients, because there's a dude who look.
You all right?
I'm not going to call someone an idiot, especially because this guy died. But you don't, like, you just buy a new Frisbee.
You know, I disagree.
You're going up on the roof to get the Frisbee in the tornado winds? In the tornado winds?
No, the tornado winds is wrong.
Yes!
But did it come out of nowhere? That's my thing, is I'm like, they make it seem as though like everyone was just vibing and then there was wind.
It was a crystal blue, no cloud in the sky day. And then by the time he climbed up the ladder, the tornado came.
That's what I'm saying. Also at my house, where a Frisbee would be, would probably just be on that front little thing where we can climb out the second story window and it's on that little ledge right there. So there would be no ladder. I can just climb out, get it, and climb back in. Not hard.
Yeah, if it's wind, yeah, also don't throw the Frisbee if it's tornadoing out, I guess. Yeah. Is another, that story
also,
didn't
the tornado
fully
will
line
be
up
there
to
tomorrow
me.
Is the other thing.
If you want
I
it
guess
to
maybe
be,
not in the
yeah.
tornado, I don't know. Also, like how attached you are to this Frisbee. Like we have so many Frisbees.
I'm just saying, I actually, so we had a next door neighbor where I go and I ask him to borrow a ladder to do my gutters. And I text him and he's like, hey, I go over to his house that night and he's like, hey, I will lend you the ladder, but can I give you a piece of advice? And I was like, yeah. Call my guy, have him do your gutters. You have a family. And I personally know four people who have fallen off their roofs.
Four is so many.
Four people, one degree of separation, one of which passed away.
That's crazy. My dad always felt very strongly about not playing outside in the rain because he had a friend who got struck by lightning when playing Ultimate Frisbee and he died.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's always, I feel like people always like don't really take things that seriously. And then it happens to someone they know. And then they're like, it is something they feel very strongly about.
Want to hear the other crazy piece of that story? One of the people that he mentioned who fell off the roof was the neighbor on the other side of his house. Like, so two houses down from me, who doesn't live there anymore, was my 7th and 8th grade gym teacher.
Oh, that is a small world.
Small world. He goes, yeah, I used to be a gym teacher over at Jefferson Junior High School. And I was like, Mr. Ripke? And he's like, yeah! Mr. Ripke! So I was like,
and
crazy.
Then he screamed at me.
Then he hit me with the ladder. fuck.
So did you call someone else to do it?
Yeah. I had him come by the next day. Yeah. And he's like, and honestly, he's going to come by to do my house this week. I'll just ask him if he could do yours. And I was like, yeah, cool.
Not for nothing. Carmen will take any excuse to call someone to do a task for him. He does not love housework.
Hold on. I don't like fixing things. Cleaning out the gutter felt like something that my skill set could.
You could do it, but you still yearn to call someone else to do it.
Yeah, that's fair. But that was $160 that I could have put towards a Pokemon card. You know what I mean?
It was $160,000 worth of medical bills you didn't have to pay for not falling off your roof.
Exactly. So that's good. So anyways, yeah, that's a little bit crazy to me, but sad story. And I do like that there's a little bit of the storyline where Derek and Amelia get to kind of handle that case together. But Derek makes it about himself in that scene with Ben.
Oh my God.
Walk us through that.
So Amelia and Derek, who, let us recall, lost their father at a young age. He was shot in front of the two of them. They go, Amelia was operating on this man and he did not make it. So they go to tell the mom and Derek stays with the kid. And the kid's like, did my dad die? And Derek's like, we'll talk about it when your mom gets back. And the kid's like, I miss him already. And Derek's like, I must stay. And I'm like, I just don't understand when people have to be faced with like the worst possible outcome in the world for them to realize that they like care about their family. Like, I don't get that trope. I feel like it happens oft in television. It's just not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, wow, this kid's dad died and now he misses him, so I can't leave my kids. I'm like, well, first of all, you were already gonna, did you like not, did you think you were immortal until this exact moment? You, a man who works in a hospital where people die every day in like the most traumatic way. You, the man who's looked down the barrel of a gun and been shot by a crazy man. You've been in a plane crash. You just thought you were gonna live forever. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I also don't know. Because, I don't know either.
For those of you who do not remember, haven't watched this in a while, Meredith is like, I want you to go to DC, but I'm not going with you and it'll be fine. And Derek's like, why are you making me choose? And she's like, I'm not making you choose. I'm telling you to go. We're just going to stay here and we'll make it work. And that's really offensive to him. I have to drink this tea now.
Yeah. It also, so this is not, I agree with Kelsey. I don't like that it's this trope. And honestly, it's even a lot of times in real life, like people have to have these life or death crazy realizations that they are making a bad mistake or whatever it is. But flashback to earlier in the episode where they're doing surgery with Ben and they're talking like, wow, you're live a partners. Funny. And they're like, oh, Ben, you did that with Bailey. How'd that turn out? And he goes, I'm not living in fucking LA. So clearly terrible, dude.
Well, I'm like, okay, it's just not the same thing.
No, it's not. And then Derek goes to do something. He's like, you coming with? And he's like, no, actually, like, I'm going to stay here because you're leaving. And she's the new head of neuro. And he's like, wow, everyone's leaving me these days. Bleh. Yeah. Shut
everyone,
the fuck
no, everyone's
up.
Everyone's staying behind.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
No
whatever.
One's coming
still,
with, shut up.
Melodramatic, like bullshit, Derek.
God damn, dude.
And I think Amelia handled this very well because when he said, am I a bad person for taking this? No, but Meredith's not a bad person for wanting to stay with the kids. It's her home. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yes, she's being very like level-headed about it. And I just, like, he just so badly wants everyone to just constantly be on his side and, like, worship the ground he walks on and, like, oh, I'm Derek, I can do no wrong, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, how he does.
How he does.
And it just irks the shit out of me. And he's not my favorite. And then he's like, oh, this kid misses his dad who just died. So I will negate my wife's opinion of what how we should live our lives and just do whatever the fuck I want.
Well, what's funny about that when you say doing whatever the fuck I want, because Derek does exactly what Ben does and makes a unilateral mm-hmm. decision, and then it pisses off Meredith mm-hmm. because they didn't talk. It's not what they discussed. She was just kind of starting to try to force herself to come to terms with the situation they were in, and then Derek throws another curveball, which pisses her off more.
Yeah. Again, like every time this man makes a decision, it is on behalf of their entire family, and she is involved in it in no way. Because he sucks as a partner.
And lucky for all of us, he's taking a step back in his career.
This man could not be more of a narcissist.
Yeah.
It's just annoying.
It is. It is annoying.
Sick of people defending this man.
Trying to think what other, the hiker dude, obviously fucking sad. Also, there's a good scene in that where Meredith is trying to teach Steph about the double, they're going to do a double,
transplant. They're going to like with the kidneys. Transplant the guy's kidney to himself or his liver, one or the other.
Well, one kidney has a bad supply and the other kidney is just bad.
Right, but the supply is fine. So they take the good kidney from the bad supply side and transfer it to the side where the kidney is bad.
Yeah.
And the supply is good.
Yeah. Which still to this day makes no sense because kidneys just float in your body. So.
As do my ovaries.
Interesting. Goodness.
I've told that story before, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think
and Jessica had the same thing in one of her ultrasounds, she told me. They couldn't find one of her ovaries, and they were like jamming her with slam on your stomach and try and move it out from behind your other organs.
Yeah,
it's fun to be a girl.
They use the hiker guy, and they really are like with Pierce and Meredith. I need an echo is very early in this episode, and Meredith is very obstinate.
She's very actively ignoring it.
Yeah,
And we've seen this storyline before where someone's like, I need like this x-ray, I need this echo, I need this CT, whatever, whatever. And they're like, well, it has to wait because like this injury is like actively life-threatening. And sometimes that is the case. And sometimes the other person is right. And in this case, Maggie was right.
She was.
And there's like obviously a lot of bickering. They almost lose the damn kidney when they have to switch the OR.
So dramatic. Why is Meredith always involved in dramatic kidney incidents?
No one dropped it. 3-second rule. So yeah. It's just like obviously in an OR, most things that happen are life and death. This man is actively dying like when he comes in because he's been in the middle of the desert for 4 months somehow surviving,
yeah,
unbeknownst to us, which they also don't really expand on. I'm like, did he have a backpack? Was he drinking his pee? What was he eating? Like, I understand they say he's like severely dehydrated, but like homeboy still got to be eating something. He's got frostbite on his toes, maybe.
Don't understand that. It's a desert.
Yeah, but they get so cold at night.
That's true.
Did you ever watch The Magic School Bus? I'm pretty sure
I did. They did. They did talk about that. Yeah. You're right.
Scarlett's remember recently that time, discovered that.
Remember that one time that Arnold kid froze on Pluto? He took his helmet off? Traumatized me.
Terrifying.
As a child, I said, I'm never going to Pluto.
And as an adult, I said, I stand by that.
And as an adult, I say, man, they really fucked over Pluto.
Child me was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of Pluto, okay, Scarlett and Bennett have a book about space.
Love it.
It's like a Nat Geo book. It's like my first book about space or something. Sorry. And in it, they are talking about the different planets and how there are 8 of them. And it literally says in this book, there's a dwarf planet called Pluto. When your parents were in school, it was a real planet. What?
Wow.
Like, Michael was reading it and I said, what is it actually saying? He's like, that's what it says. I'm reading it word for word. I'm like, you're lying. It doesn't say that. They're not throwing that much shade at me right now. They are.
Nothing separates us from the boomer generation at this point. It's crazy.
Just everyone hates us so much. We're so tired, you guys. We're doing our best. Leave us alone.
We were promised that if we go to college, everything would be okay. Just take the loans.
Any idea how many unprecedented times I have survived through?
12 this week.
It's too many times. Too many. I've lived through too much history.
Yeah.
Do you know when, like, you read your history book and there's just like 40-year gaps and they're like, and everything was fine. Couldn't be us.
Peacetime America. What's that like?
Couldn't be us.
Yeah. So anyways, the guy reunites with his family. The scene that made me start crying on the train is when he's like, my Lily, she's 6.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck you. I'm crying. On the train. So also there's the couple in the car just boning, trying to like.
Well, let's real quick before we start with them, we'll have some capitalism, maybe for some condoms. I so badly hope someone got a condom ad just now.
Yeah.
Please tell me if you did. Anyways, okay, so yes, the eld, it's so weird. Like every time I took a note and I was like, the teenagers having sex, I was like, this feels so gross to write. Okay, the like they're like 17, I guess, 16, 17. The boy is in the hospital because he gets chemo treatment because he has lung cancer, stomach cancer. He has a type of cancer. He's getting chemo. It's like working. Okay.
No, he is his astrological sign is a cancer.
No, that's not true because you don't know that. But it might be, but we would never know because they don't say his birthday. And you don't even know when that is, do you?
It is June.
It is June.
Is it?
And it's the end of June to the beginning of July.
Fuck, I had a good guess. The odds really were not positive on that one. That was not a 50-50 coin flip.
You had about 1 in 12.
Which is like a 36% chance. It's not. It's like 18.
He is, what is his name? Chris? David.
1 in 12 is like 8%.
His name is David. And he is 16, 17, like he's older teenage, but he's in there for stage 2 osteosarcoma, which he was getting treated for. He and the girlfriend her mom had just been relocated and had just moved like 4 hours somewhere else. And so she came down and they snuck out to go in the car to have sex. Obviously, for the drama, a gurney gets blown off the top of the roof and falls like fully. What is this?
Perpendicular? Vertical?
Into the car in like the sunroof. Like, not really on them, but, like, the girl mostly is injured. He's not really injured. So.
I really couldn't tell where they were parked either.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
It just, like, really, the logistics of it, I'm like, how were you injured? Hard to say. Also, Arizona's like, wow, that mom was really hard on him. I'm like, I actually think she was pretty tame about it.
Yeah, I would agree. It also raised, I like that this storyline kind of created a dialogue for Callie and Arizona to talk about parenting styles.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that scene where they're in the gallery and Callie said, I didn't realize that I'm my father and I don't want my daughter to have my father as a mother.
Yeah, that was a very funny line. They do. They're also, again, going back and forth about the surrogate. And Callie's like, I can't trust anybody. And then Arizona's like, you're right. I want to do this fellowship maybe instead. And Callie's like, no, wait, you're right. I want to have another kid. Like, it's just, what is happening? Like, the whiplash for them is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Callie, Arizona's like, oh my gosh, that mom was so harsh on him. And Callie's like, she's so right though. I totally agree with her. And I'm like, well, yeah, like they shouldn't have snuck out of the hospital where her son is getting chemo to have sex in a car. But like, again, I just don't think she was actually that rude to either one of them.
No, I really didn't think that at all.
And to her point later on, she's just grateful that her son is alive. So.
Yeah, it's we get a cool scene too where the mom and Callie are outside and you mm-hmm. know, the girl, something's going on where
they definitely make you think Monica's gonna die.
Yeah.
And
the mom is there for her son. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I thought that scene was lovely. And she's like, we're just gonna sit here together and like just wait and see. Like, we're not freaking out, nobody's dying, like we're just waiting. Nothing is your fault. Nothing's happened. Like, and then, you know, yeah, they really make you think that girl is dead, which is just, that would fuck you up.
Yeah.
It's giving A Fault in Our Stars.
Never seen it.
It's a book. I mean, yes, they made it a movie, but it's a book.
Is that the one with Zach Braff?
No.
Which one is Zach Braff in? Zach Braff and Natalie Portman.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. So many people are yelling right now.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
No,
that's America Ferrera.
Yes, and Rory.
McIlroy.
No, Gilmore.
Mmm. Happy.
I did start watching Mad Men.
Mmm. I watched one episode and I said I can't do this.
Yeah, that's what Michael said too. Oh my gosh, what is that movie? Guys, real time, we're
like,
gonna look it up.
It's like magical bus.
Garden State.
Garden State. That's what I.
Magical
yeah.
bus. All I could think was Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which is also not correct.
Oh, that's Ryan Gosling.
No, it's not.
Okay, who's in that movie then?
It's fucking, oh my God, is it Jim Carrey?
Javier Bardem.
No, why do you keep talking?
It's a podcast! All we do is talk!
I see my mistake. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, 2004. A movie I've never seen. It is, in fact, that's Jim Carrey, right? Yeah, that's Jim Carrey.
How funny would it be if Javier Bardem had a supporting role in that movie?
And Kate Winslet. And Elijah Wood. Look at that. Oh, Mark Ruffalo. Wow. This is a good cast.
Mm.
Kate Winslet, Elijah Wood. Wow. That's nice. Kirsten Dunst is there.
And to be clear, Kate Winslet is the girl with the boobs in Titanic.
She is the lead in Titanic.
Who she gets painted she is like
nude,
a French
yes.
girl. Yes. Okay. I remember that as a child. I watched that scene with my parents.
Do you have the two-part DVD or the two-part VHS? Sorry.
Yeah, but I've never seen the second half.
Yeah.
Have I told you that story?
I've never seen any of it, so.
Have I told you that story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would you want? I mean, we all know how it ends. We don't need to watch it happen.
Well, no, but did I tell you why? Like, I watched it with my family and we stopped watching it. Did I ever
you
tell
you?
You
thought it was just the one.
No. It was a two VHS movie. We as a family, my father, my mother, my sister, and I watched
this. Was early.
This
you were young.
Early. Yes. We go to watch it. The VHS is in. In between the one VHS and the second VHS,
yes.
My sister asks my dad, if she can have an apple. And my dad says, yes, just don't ask me to cut it. So my sister goes upstairs, gets the apple. It's funnier because Kelsey is holding her hands.
I remember. It's not funny.
So my dad says, yeah, to Sam, don't ask me to cut it. So Sam goes upstairs, gets the apple, come downstairs and immediately asks my dad to cut it. So my dad, the kind, understanding father he is, takes the apple, starts yelling, hurls that shit at the wall. The apple explodes at the wall. And all I remember about the second half of Titanic is not watching it, and my mom is cleaning up the wall, and we sat there in silence.
I really wish he would have taken the apple and hurled it into the VHS player.
Or like out of
into
spite.
Into the television, like it just like embedded in the TV.
He eats it in one whole bite and says, now no one gets a fucking apple except me.
About them apples and no more Titanic.
Oh, that's so funny.
Therapy is good, guys. Okay, have we talked about everybody? Let me look more. I feel like I had more notes. I probably have so much more about how much I hate Derek. Oh, yes, the first thing I said. He wants us standing. Okay.
Where are we?
So Derek gets to Joe's.
Oh, yeah.
And tells Meredith, you'll never believe it. I'm going to stay here because I am God's gift to relationships. And you can just tell he wants like a standing fucking ovation. This man is so, he's like, I cannot believe how amazing I am. No one could be luckier than Meredith. And she's like, that's not what we agreed on. He's like, no, but it's okay. And she's like, no. Mm.
Well, and Alex says, I got to go pee.
Yeah. Which also we need to talk about Meredith breaking into Alex's house.
Oh
and
my gosh.
Joe out of bed and Joe
so
getting mad.
Funny. And when Meredith says, she says something and then Alex is like, you can't come into my house. And she says, shut up. And he goes, you can't tell me to shut up when you asked to talk to me.
Yeah.
So and funny.
Like, and then Chris, like, Joe is upset and Alex is like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah. Which honestly, fair. Fair.
Yeah.
Because they're each other's person now.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cute.
Are you fond of that?
I am fond of it. I find myself enjoying it. Yeah, I like them. I like Alex. Alex has come a long way. I've also really grown to like Meredith. Yeah.
I love it.
Love it. Yeah, big fan.
And then, was there anything else?
Steph and Joe running to the case.
I thought they both say dibs.
That was funny.
And Meredith as a team. I
also,
that's nice. I'm into that. Oh, yeah. April is pregnant still. And she's really pressed about Owen. And she's making all the men ask Owen on dates.
I gotta tell you this. Okay, can I give a male's perspective on this?
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I don't like how stupid male bro friendships look in TV.
Yeah. It's not that deep.
No.
It's just, like, men can just have friends. It doesn't have to be this, like, weird thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And when April tells Jackson to ask out Owen and then he does it, but like super awkward, April's like, was that so hard? Yeah. It was so hard because you're an idiot.
Yeah. I'm just like,
want to get some brewskis? We're all going to Joe's. And the natural response is, okay, yeah, cool. Who's going? You and me? Just say you want to go get a beer after work.
Yeah.
You want to go hang out in line and get some Pokemon cards tomorrow morning? You want to play Nintendo Switch together sometime? Mm-hmm. Play some fucking Mario Kart? You want to start a podcast together? There's a
Hell
billion
yeah,
things you can do with your bros.
Yeah. What is it that Richard asked him to play with? Oh, Jenga.
Jenga!
You have steady hands. Would you like to come play Jenga with me? What? Richard, what are you doing?
And Derek goes, hey, did you catch the game last night? And Owen goes, what game? And he's like, I don't know. Was there a game? Fuck.
Did you catch it? Was there one? Did you catch it? Can you fill me in?
Crazy. Ooh, bless you. Such a cute little sneeze. Thanks. Yeah. It's also when Meredith says change your locks, you probably should change the locks. But also you shouldn't have kept a key, Meredith. That's not, you sold him the house.
Yeah. Also, Alex is like, oh, she left me her shares at the hospital, but she also left me you. Oh, that was cute.
That was cute. Yeah, I like them. I do like them together. It's, you know, they're kind of like you and me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Platonic. friendship that is just a tad bit toxic.
And they're both fucked up in the head.
Yep.
Delightful.
Yep.
Delightful. Okay, well, do you have any extra thoughts on anything before we break it down?
Yeah, the one line where Meredith is like, it's in her initial like flashback. She says, the things you can't quite remember and the things you never forget. It's interesting because I actually in therapy have discovered there's a lot of my childhood that like I just can't fully pinpoint things. Maybe it's trauma blocked. I don't fully know, but it's just an interesting that like line, that single line resonated with me. Mm-hmm. I like that Callie in Arizona did have a little bit of kind of that reckoning at the end, or that recognition at the end that they do want to ultimately have a surrogate. She recognizes that she can't control everything. Mm-hmm. And Arizona also wants to do this fellowship with Dottie from League of Their Own. I don't fully know what's going to happen there, so that's interesting. And the bad CGI helicopter, Derek just being a dingleberry, needing to get his shit together. Bailey shook Alex's hand and said, you know, may the better surgeon win. She knows that she's the better surgeon. That's unfair. So she's being a little bit tongue in cheek there. But I do think that my official prediction is that they will both be on the board. That's going to be the vote of the board. And a couple in the car having sex. She wanted to shave her head in solidarity. That was cute.
I did think that was cute.
And yeah, Ben saying that he didn't want to go with Derek, and Derek's like, I'm leaving and you're staying, blah, blah. So dramatic. Piss off. Mm-hmm. And that scene where Callie says, if I was her mother, I'd kill her if the brain bleed doesn't. So funny. Glad there was a happy ending there. She did wake up.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got some good happy endings with the kid and the girl, and then the hiker got reunited with his family. But the dude on the roof with the frisbee, he didn't make it. And that's sad.
Yeah, it was really upsetting.
Oh, and then at the end, Pierce and Meredith are at the bar together and they both say tequila at the same time.
Yeah. Yes. I did find that interesting.
So, yeah, very interesting.
Okay, so let's rate it first.
I'm gonna give it a 4.1.
Yeah, I'm gonna honestly say like probably a 3.8. Like, especially as far as like season premieres go, kind of a bummer. Like, the patient stories were really great, but there was just like nothing really going on doctor-wise that was, I mean, it's just like really, it's obviously setting up a lot. Like, it's setting up Richard trying to navigate this thing with Maggie potentially navigating this thing with Meredith, Derek fucking everybody's life up continuously, Callie in Arizona figuring out what their future is going to look like, Joe being mad that Meredith comes in their house. I don't know.
Yeah, I also don't know.
So, yeah, just like kind of low as far as like I'm putting season premieres and season finales on like a higher pedestal, so they have a higher bar. Like, if this episode was like in the middle of a season, I'd probably be like, oh my gosh, ugh, the camping episode, like, if I'm being honest. But for a season premiere, I'm like, you got to be doing a little bit more.
Yeah, I think they try to throw so many intense like rage clickbait moments with the patients that they kind of had that initial bombshell of Amelia being at AA when Weber was there, and they never really like dig in on that. And then the Pierce and Meredith thing, it has like one kind of blow up, and then there's some drama at the end, but they don't really dig. There's no substance to it. It's kind of like all very flash in the pan stuff, and there's so many flashes happening that you really can't focus. They don't go deep on a specific storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, predictions.
So, Pierce is going to tell Meredith that she's her half-sister.
When?
That's going to be within the next two episodes. So by episode 3, it's going to be a very quick reveal. Maybe even next episode. I'm going to say it's a 70% chance it happens in episode 2, but by episode three, Meredith will know. And it's not going to be a kind conversation. It's going to be Meredith pisses off Pierce, and Pierce is going to drop some fucking bombshell of like, I'm your sister, you dumb bitch. And that's what it's going to be like. Weber is going to be this silent, consoling figure as a leader in her life
mm-hmm.
for maybe five episodes. And then on I think by episode six, he's going to be like, hey, I think you need to know something. And that's going to be the reveal that he's going to say, I think I might be your dad.
Okay.
I think prediction wise, I still think that Derek and Meredith are going to get a divorce. I don't know when that's going to happen, but I think it's going to be the whole theme of this season. Or he dies, or he gets murdered.
Oh, murder.
By the writers.
So not murdered.
No, murdered by the writers. I think he will be written off the show via death. I could be wrong. I don't know, obviously, because I didn't watch this live, but if Christina is the only one who got this send-off moment and she's this beloved character, Derek feels like he should also get a write-off moment, but maybe he won't. I don't know. But if they're getting a divorce, he definitely is not getting a write-off moment. Into the sunset kind of mm-hmm. moment. And I think that's really all the predictions that I have right now because, oh, and I will say I don't have a timeline, but I do think that Callie and Arizona are going to go through a surrogate process mm-hmm. and they're going to have a cameo appearance by Phoebe Buffay and she will be their surrogate.
Okay. Well, I love that for her.
Yeah.
Do
you have any predictions?
Yeah. I predict everyone will love this podcast forever. I predict next week I will be better or I will be rioting because I'm fucking over this cough. I'm over it. It's annoying. I don't want to drink any more tea. I want to sleep through the night. I'm going to have to go to this sleep study at some point. I have to do this one at home first. Which will be a waste of my time. And then I'll get to go in a hospital and do one and not pay them $7,000.
Yeah, that's cray. That's cray cray.
Anyways, everything's fine. Wait, do you have any predictions for Jackson and April?
Yeah, they're still going to be good.
Okay. What about
babies,
Alex?
Baby's
and
healthy.
Joe?
They're good. I think that Joe and Alex are endgame. They're gonna be together. Also, I really am glad that Steph and Joe are the two intern residents who have survived the new folks mm-hmm. because like, they've been my
around.
Yeah, they've been my favorite since the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, I
think it's safe to assume that Leah's gone.
Yeah. But it's just like, it's like, I just remembered hating Leah so much and then like rewatching it and like they make her likable at the very end and then they get rid of her. And it's just like,
it's like George.
Why you guys, why are you doing that? Shane.
I also do
kind
predict
of was like,
I have one more prediction
with mostly the whole time.
You froze there for a second. I didn't know you were talking.
I was saying Shane, I was mostly like neutral with for the whole time. So I didn't like feel any kind of way about him leaving. I thought it made sense with like, he was very career driven and like working with Christina. So it made sense that he would be like, I want to continue working with you. But I didn't really feel one way or the other about him leaving.
They're going to get married in Zurich.
Okay.
Yeah. I also predict that. Dang. Where was I going to go with that? Something about Steph and then Leah and
Joe, Shane, Weber.
No, I lost
Bailey,
it.
Alex. All right. Well, it's midnight where I live, so I think we're going to wrap it up. I still haven't killed this fucking fly.
It flew past your microphone at one point, and I actually heard the buzzing.
I know. At one point, I was like, there's no way they're not hearing this. And it's landed on the microphone more than once. It's pissing me off. That's funny. It's like, it keeps landing on the screen, like, right above either me or you. It's pissing me off. So.
That's hilarious.
Anyways, I hate it.
Just fucking stop it.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Sorry, I'm unwell in both the head and body. Next week, hopefully, we'll be better. Next week, we'll get more into these episodes, more into the meat of it as we watch Derek piss me off some more, watch Owen piss me off some more, watch Alex be lovely with Meredith as their people. What's this? Watch this.
Beware of hitchhiking ghosts.
I just stare at that a lot of times when we're sitting here, and I always want to push the button. Okay, well, it's past my bedtime. I'm unwell. I'm going to go take more medication and hopefully get some rest. But we appreciate all of you listening, and we hope you continue to listen. And we're in season 11. Sorry that it started weird, but it gets better. You know, we didn't write the episode. We're just responding to it. We're doing our best. So make sure you follow us everywhere. You can go to graysacademypod.com. to find the links to everything. You can find Patreon. You can find our socials. You can email graysacademypod@gmail.com. We will do another email episode at some point. And just remember to tell everyone that you ever see ever anywhere in the world to listen to this podcast. And if you see Carmen walking down the street.
Usually you say just remember.
Just remember.
No spoilies. We appreciate you all so much, and we'll see you all in the next one.